Blog Talk Radio.
My heart.
You, Lord, for glorify your name. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, your kingdom come. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Holy Spirit, we ask you to speak to us, Lord. We ask you to move in our lives. We ask you to give us ears to hear your voice. Hallelujah. We invite you here, Lord God. We want you to do new things in our lives, new things. Praise you, Jesus. Now, this hadn't happened to me in a long time, but as we were worshiping there, I think the Lord gave me three words of knowledge this morning. And he didn't tell me who they were for, he just said to give them. Number one was that there's somebody in here, and you said, I want the presence of God in my life. I want the glory of God in my life. I pray, I do this, I do that, but I don't ever feel his presence. I don't ever really feel the glory that I hear other people talking about, and I don't really feel like I have that intimacy with the Lord. And what the Lord wanted me to tell you is this. The reason for that is the Bible says that he gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey him. And he said many people don't ever find his presence and intimacy with him because they're holding on to something. They're holding on to a sin, an idol, an offense, an issue of unforgiveness or something. They're holding on to a lust, a secret sin. And the Lord says until, and this is to somebody in here this morning, until you give up everything and go after him with all your heart, You won't find his presence. You won't find his peace. You won't find the reality that many Christians know of intimacy with Jesus and the Holy Spirit. It's very important. And the Lord added this too from Hebrews 1. Until you hate sin and love righteousness, you'll never have the anointing or presence of the Holy Spirit. There's too many people say they love God, but they still love their sin. They still love the world. That's what's blocking you. Okay? Number two, as the Lord, I saw the word suicide. And that someone is being bombarded with thoughts, not that you really want to commit suicide, but you've been bombarded by these thoughts, and it's almost continuously. The Lord just wanted me to remind you that is a demon spirit. Bind that spirit and rebuke it and command it to go from you in the name of Jesus, because if you entertain that thought too long, it will eventually take root in your life. You hear me? Now I'm trying to remember what the third one was. Lord, there was another one. I can't remember now. Well, Holy Spirit, you'll bring back to my remembrance everything you said. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yes. The Lord wanted me to say this, and this is for somebody in here, but the Lord wants you to know that soon death will strike near you. It will strike very near you, but the Lord wants you to be reminded that Jesus lives in you and he is the resurrection and the life, and you are to step out and pray in that situation and believe for a miracle. And you will know it when it happens. So don't be afraid. And I almost saw it as if it was someone near somebody, and it was like a lightning bolt, and death struck very near someone. The Lord didn't tell me who. But to not be afraid in that moment. Jesus is the resurrection and the life, and he said these signs would follow them that believe. He said, the works I do, you shall do also. And God told me in 2014 there were going to be people start raising the dead because that's a miracle that Jesus did and he wants his people to do. So, receive that. Amen?
Yeah. And the Lord thy God, I am the God that you see. I am the most powerful. I am the creator. I give the power through the Holy Spirit to do the things that I will on this earth. You seek me. You die to yourself. You give up all your selfish lusts, everything. Seek me for what I want for your life, not for what you want. And you will find me. And you will do things in my son's name.
Amen. Yes, Dave, go ahead. Speak up loud.
That was confirmation of something that God was speaking to me during that last song, when it's talking about, you know, when he just died to yourself. And in that song we were all singing, and once again, I think a lot of times we just sing things that we don't really mean in our hearts. But the part where it says, your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. And the thing that just struck me is that's really not what most of us are longing for sincerely deep down in our hearts. And that God is a consuming fire. Hebrews talks about him being a consuming fire. So if you're longing for him, be ready to be consumed and for everything else to be given up. Your desires, it says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Well, if your heart is longing for the Lord, then that's your desire. All right, so you're supposed to be pursuing after him and giving up everything else and be ready for him to consume everything. And it should be our heart's cry, you know, your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, but I think we're not there yet. I think we're consumed with, you know, everything else. And it said, let us become more aware of your presence. Well, the thing that he spoke to me is, in order to become more aware of God's presence, we've got to become less aware of our own.
Amen. Amen. John the Baptist. He must increase, I must decrease. Amen. Y'all may be seated this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Well, I'm looking for where I laid my Bible down now. All right. Hallelujah. Let's see. Oh, well. Well, all right. Well, this morning, I do have a little bit to share with you. I felt like the Lord laid on my heart this morning, and just almost really kind of an update of things. But there's some interesting things going on here. So, I don't know what's going on over here. There we go. So we're going to talk about this morning. This message is called Bears, Blood Moons, and the Abyss. Now, that's kind of crazy, but that's the way we roll around here. Amen. The Lord is speaking, and he's been speaking prophetically, just as he did this morning, through words of knowledge, words of wisdom, gift of prophecy. God is speaking to his people. And I want everybody to look first at Amos, book of Amos, chapter 3. Y'all there yet? Amos 3. And we're going down a couple more verses than that. If I can ever get there myself. Amos 3, verse 7. It says this, surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secrets unto his servants, the prophets. The lion hath roared, who will not fear? The Lord hath spoken, who can but prophesy? We all know, too, I want you to turn with me from there. I want you to turn to the book of Joel. Just backwards. Go back a book. Go to Joel chapter 2. This is concerning the last days. We're going to read at verse 1. In Joel chapter 2, verse 1, this is what the Lord said concerning the last days, and this is particularly about that. He said, blow ye the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. Now this term, the day of the Lord, always is a reference to the last days, to the last 7-year period called the tribulation, or some call it the 70th week of Daniel. I believe the last 3.5 are the Great Tribulation, but some people call the whole thing the tribulation period. But bottom line, it's the time of great trouble. It's the time of Jacob's trouble, the Bible calls it. But this day of the Lord speaks of that day when God's judgment comes, the end time prophecies are all fulfilled. It is the culmination of all things that the prophets spoke. And so he said, blow ye the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people strong. There hath not been ever the like, neither shall there be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness, yea, and nothing shall escape them. And I believe this is the end-time armies that God will release across the earth to bring great destruction, World War III, and those things that are coming. And then he says this. He says, like the noise. Well, verse 4, we don't want to skip that. He says, the appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen, so shall they run. Like the noise of chariots on the tops of the mountains, they shall leap. Like the noise of a flame of fire that devours the stubble, a strong people set in battle array. And then he just goes on to talk about them. And we're going to skip down. And this is what he says. This is the instructions to the people of God in that hour, in that time. This is what he says. Verse 12. Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, with fasting and with weeping and with mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Or see what you can get God to turn away from and stop what he's determined, certain things he's determined. See, everything, now we have what's written in the Bible. Those things will come to pass, but all the details are not written. The severity of how it goes or how good it goes in your life, in your city, in your church, in your country, the severity or however how good it goes is really kind of up to the people of God. Whether we repent, how much we spend in prayer and intercede, and what we can get God to maybe have mercy and turn away his anger. And I shared about this a few weeks ago about praying for mercy and for revival. It's an important thing. But he says here, turn ye even to me with all your hearts, with fasting, with weeping, with mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. Turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious, merciful, slow to anger, and great kindness, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion. Sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly. Gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and those that suck the breast. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber and the bride out of her closet. Let the priest and the ministers of the Lord weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord. Give not thine heritage to reproach that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? And I believe that this especially is an instruction to the ministers of God in the last days, many of which now are just totally sold out to trying to build a big church, trying to become famous, trying to become wealthy, trying to do all these things, and they're not really understanding what's about to come down, not just on the world and on the wicked, but on the church. And because many of them believe that we're going to be raptured out of here before anything bad happens to any Christian or any child of God, they don't really have a heart that's broken, a heart that understands that we, he says to the ministers, get in there and pray, spare thy people, your people, God. What's coming down, you guys got to realize what's coming down on this earth through the Antichrist system, the governmental system, what's about to come down through persecution is going to come down on the church. It's going to come down on us. And that's why God is instructing them, be in prayer. Be serious. You know, a solemn assembly means to be serious. Some people say, well, you know, they don't like me as a pastor because I'm too serious. We're talking about serious things, though. Now, y'all know I'll cut up with you sometimes, but you know what? I'm not going to make jokes or make light of these serious matters. Eternity, heaven and hell. The judgment of God, the wrath of Satan in these last days. I'm not going to make light of these things. You know, there are ministers now, preachers, Christian preachers and pastors who mock and ridicule preachers like me who talk about this stuff. Oh, yeah, I'm a doom and gloom guy. You're fear-mongering. I say, you're a lollipop salesman. All right. I'd rather scare the hell out of you than give you a lollipop and make you feel comfortable about your porn addiction or your fornication or your adultery. Or that this lukewarm, backslidden church world. I can't believe pastors tell this lukewarm, backslidden church world they're going to be raptured out of here. That is laughable now. Oh, you get to live like hell. You get to live like the heathen, like the world, live in sin. Oh, yeah, and by the way, God's going to take you out of here before any bad happens to you. That is just ridiculous. The more I think about the pre-trib rapture idea, the more the more it's ridiculous nonsense. That makes no sense. Well, and we know it's not biblical, but it just doesn't even make sense. Yeah, God's going to rapture, especially the American church, out of here before any persecution or bad stuff happens. No. Sorry, not going to happen. I got news for some of you Pollyannas out there. You're going to see the mushroom clouds. You're going to see the foreign troops. You're going to see the UN troops. You're going to see people die for their faith if you survive the first wave. Right? Nobody says, we're going to drop all down. He says, if this will happen, verse 17, we go to verse 18, he says, then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people. Yea, the Lord will answer and say to his people, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and you'll be satisfied therewith, and I'll make you no more a reproach among the heathen. I will remove far off from you the northern army, and will drive him into a land barren and desolate, with his face toward the east sea, and his hinder part toward the uttermost sea, and his stink shall come up, and his ill savor shall come up, because he hath done great things. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. I want to say this. There's been one prophet, one prophetic individual who saw back in the 1980s a vision of the troops, the Chinese and the Russian troops coming into America and beginning to take over, and then something rose up and drove them out. I think that that's possibly God saying, you know what, if the people of God, when this begins to go down and they see the judgment of God and God allowing the Northern Army, the King of the North, which I believe is Putin, I believe when God begins to let these things happen to America, I believe that many Americans are going to fall on their face and repent. And maybe, just maybe, if enough people repent and enough people pray and cry out, that God will turn back the Chinese armies and turn back Russian armies, and the United States might get a little revival in the midst of the wrath, in the midst of the judgment. But again, it's on us. It's on us what we do. And we keep going. Let's just go on down. He says this. Well, look at verse 23. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain motley, and he will cause for you to come down the rain, the former rain and the latter rain, in the first month. And the floors shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with wine and oil, and I will restore to you the years the locusts have eaten, and the cankerworm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, and my great army that I sent among you. So he's telling you there is a promise that I can, in the midst of all that, move. And that's what we got to understand. God can move in the midst of whatever darkness and difficulties that are coming. It's just on us. Will we repent? And then, of course, I want to skip on down. And in verse 28 he says, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaidens. In those days I will pour out my spirit, and I will show wonders or signs in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. And the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Now, as we get into this morning, I want to just share some prophetic things that I believe is happening right now. And God speaking both through the scriptures and speaking through prophets and people who are having prophetic dreams and prophetic visions of things that are about to go down. And, of course, I'm going to share with you some news articles that make this very important. We're talking about bears. Now, we'll do this real quick so you'll understand where we're coming from. Go to Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7. And first of all, let's just deal with a great misinterpretation of Scripture that is the traditional view. And yes, I say misinterpretation of a passage of Scripture. I remember when I was a young man in the Lord began to show me this. And I remember all the preachers and theologians that tried so hard to change my mind. But God, in these last times, as He's got me back into studying end-time prophecy, has confirmed these things to be true. Daniel chapter 7, he talks about four beasts that would arise. And here's what's interesting. He gives these four beasts. He said one was a lion with eagle's wings, and he saw the lion stand up on its feet, and the eagle's wings were plucked from the lion. Then he said, I saw a bear rise up with three ribs in its mouth, saying, go and devour much flesh. Then he said, I saw a leopard with four heads and two sets of wings on its back. He said, and then I saw a beast, terrible, dreadful, different than the other beast, and this beast had 10 horns. And that beast was the final beast. Now, here's why we know. The traditional belief or interpretation of this passage of these beasts are that the lion was Babylon, and the bear was Media-Persia, and the leopard was Greece. But that the final kingdom, somehow we jump all the way from that to the Antichrist kingdom at the end. Well, here's what's interesting. We know that that is not the case, okay, because we know, first of all, in Daniel chapter 8, that the symbol used for Media-Persia was a ram with two horns. And the symbol used in Daniel chapter 8 for Greece was a goat. So where do they get in the bear is Media-Persia? I don't really know, but here's the key verse in this passage, and it's Daniel 7, verse 17, when he's talking about, he gives him these beasts first, and he says this about these four beasts. He says, these great beasts, which are four kingdoms, or kings, kings slash kingdoms, which shall arise out of the earth. Now, wait a minute. When Daniel wrote this, Babylon had already been in existence and had fallen as a world power, and the Media-Persia had taken over the Babylonian Empire. And at that time, when he wrote this, Media-Persia was in power as the ruling main power of the world. So he's not talking about Babylon. He's not talking about Media-Persia. He said, these four beasts are four beasts that shall arise in the earth. This is a future four beasts that shall come. Now, I'm just going to break it down for you because this is not my message this morning, and a lot of you already have heard this because I've already taught this. But the four beasts, he said, first I saw a lion, and it had eagle's wings on its back, and I saw this lion stand up on its feet, and then it says the wings were plucked from it, and he said a man's heart was given to it. Well, there is a kingdom that came later in history. That symbol is a lion. That empire was so vast that the motto or the words about the empire was that the sun never set on the empire. It was so huge. And that was the British Empire. Their symbol is a lion. And actually, the crest, on the crest of the royal family is a lion standing up on its feet. Kind of interesting. Right? Now, here's what's interesting. In that lion was eagle's wings. Now, there is a great country in existence, has been in existence for a little over 200 years. That symbol is an eagle. Who would that be? All right, the United States of America. Where did we come from? Great Britain. So the eagle's wings were plucked out of the lion. Amazing how accurate the Bible was back in 600 B.C., right, about kingdoms that would come on the earth. And what's beautiful is the British Empire came to its height About that time, 1776, the eagle's wings were ripped out, the United States was found, and that really began the decline of the British Empire until it went bankrupt and was almost defeated by Hitler in World War II. And you've got to remember that the British Empire controlled most of the Middle East, Palestine, what is now Israel, Jordan area. They controlled India. They controlled almost everything. And it's interesting, it says that a man's heart was given to the British Empire, because what happened at the time, they realized they could not maintain this vast empire anymore economically because they went bankrupt. And they didn't have the money or the manpower to maintain this empire. So at that time, they began to turn back to these people, their nations and their kingdoms. So a man's heart was given to them. They finally had a heart, like the Tin Man, right? And they said, "You can, Jews, you can have your homeland, and Arabs, you can have Jordan, and you can, Pakistan can become a country, and India, you can become your own country." And so the British Empire pulled out, pulled away from everything. But then the next kingdom that came up, he said, was a bear that had three ribs in its mouth, and it says, "Arise and devour much flesh." Now, the term devour much flesh means go and kill many people, that this bear would go and kill many people. There was a country that came along, right? Centuries later, had a big revolution in 1917 called the Bolshevik Revolution. And their symbol, they're known as the bear. And who is that bear? Russia. When the Bolshevik Revolution and the Tsars were overthrown in 1917 in Russia and communism began to take over, the bear rose up and began to devour much flesh. And between 1917 and 1989, there's no real way to know how many millions of people, both Christians, Jews, and anyone that didn't go along with the communist ideology and tyranny and dictatorship, but it is upwards of 100 million people. That's just in Russia. They spread their ideology into Asia and into China, and the Chinese Revolution killed the same number of people. We've had this bear, this Russian bear, this communist bear, has been devouring flesh for a very, very, very long time. Okay? Now, here's what's interesting. He never says about these four kingdoms in Daniel that come up in the last days. He never says they go away when they come up. So all will be in existence. Now, I don't have time to develop it, but I believe that the four, the leopard with the four heads, I believe that's the European Union and Germany particularly. Not going to deal with that this morning. The two sets of wings on its back, I believe, are the two powers that brought together Europe. And that's why it's a multi-headed beast, because it's a multi-country coming together, just like the lion with the wings was the two countries kind of mixed together. So we got a multi-country beast. It's got four heads and two sets of wings. It's a freak of nature. And that's what the European Union is. They're trying to make it work. They're trying to unite it. It's not really going to work fully, but that's the leopard. So he said, and look, it's in order of how they would come. Because it would be the lion first, the eagle's wings would come out of the lion, the bear would rise up and take dominion, then the European Union would come back together, which the two countries that put together the European Union were French and France and Germany. France's symbol is a rooster, and Germany's is a double-headed eagle. So you got the two sets of wings that brought this freak together. Okay? So the Bible is actually is so accurate. But he said what would follow the European Union coming together, which that's just happened in the last 20 years, he said what would follow that was a different beast, dreadful and terrible, different than the rest. Well, why is it different than the rest? Because the final beast will bring all the world together. And it will be dreadful and terrible because it will try to wipe out Israel and Christians completely. And he said, this beast will have 10 horns, which means 10 kings that will rise, give its power to this beast. And then an 11th horn will come up, and that is the Antichrist. But I wanted you to see that even the Bible, going back to Daniel's time, 600 B.C., God showed him that a very significant issue would be a bear, the bear, in the end. Now, also, Revelation 13, you can turn there, just go to Revelation chapter 13, because with Russia in the news right now, this is very important. And what many of you don't know is how important it was to Bible prophecy that Russia took Crimea. Oh, yeah, that's Bible prophecy. I'll show you that in just a second. Okay? I'll show you an old map from the 1800s. All right? But here's what we see. Revelation chapter 13. Everybody there? Now, this beast that comes up out of the sea is going to be the Antichrist kingdom. This is what the way he describes it. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his head the names of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet was the feet of a bear, and his mouth was the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. So we see here a seven-headed beast. Now, what's interesting is if you count all the heads in Daniel 7, if you count the lion, if you count the bear, and you count the leopard with four, that's six, and the final beast makes seven. Okay. So it's interesting, you got the seven heads right there, but he says basically they come together, but look how he describes it. Its body, it's like a leopard, so it's going to try to unite like the leopard united, the Europe. And everyone's saying that Europe, the European Union, is a model for what they want to do worldwide, to create a one-world government to unite the world. So he said they're going to unite, but the feet is the feet of the bear. Now, I don't know about you, but if you're going to get anything moving in the morning and get to church or get to work, you got to do what? You got to get your feet on the floor and get moving out the door, right? I remember an old radio station used to sing a little funny song about get your feet on the floor, right? Get your head out of bed. I think that was 107 back in the day, right? All right, around here. But anyway, your feet's got to get this thing moving, right? So here we have a prophetic revelation in Scripture that there would be a country rise up that would be represented by a bear. It would devour much flesh. It would be around at the time of the last kingdom. We see Revelation 13 says it is part of the final Antichrist kingdom and is actually the feet, which means we'll get this thing moving. Okay? Now, before we go any further, let me back up a little bit here and say this. In 2008, when I was in Washington, D.C., I've shared this, but some of you have heard it, some of you hadn't, and people listening hadn't. In 2008, I had a dream about two bears. One was a baby bear, one was a mama bear. They were both in a house in separate parts of the house. People were in between them. Anywhere in the dream, God just revealed, I just cut to the chase, but God just revealed to me that the baby bear in the dream represented the crash, the financial crash of 2008. But the Lord told me that Mama Bear was coming and the economic crash that would happen from Mama Bear, there would be no recovery from that. So the Lord spoke to me very clearly in 2008, and I've shared that and written about that and shared that many times. What's interesting, of course, that the way I knew the dream was about the economic crash is because I was watching Fox News and I heard Neil Cavuto as the stock market was crashing in 2008. Neil Cavuto on Fox News one day just happened to say bear market right after I had that dream. So another symbol that we use for the stock markets and the global economy is when it's going good and the stock market's going up, that's called a bull market. When the stock market is going bad and there's loss of confidence and there's selling off of stocks and it's crashing, that's called a bear market. Because bears, they just talk about bears go into hibernation, bulls push and they're aggressive, right? That's kind of the idea. But here's the picture. We have these two things in the last days, a country represented by a bear and the fall of the economy. represented by a bear. Now, what has blown my mind is now how connected the two are, both what Russia's doing and where the economy is going. Just so you'll see, of course, we know the big thing in the news right now is Russia taking Crimea and then amassing their troops along the border of the Ukraine. There's many reasons why they're doing this, but here's something that's very interesting. I'm going to show you something. In the book of Ezekiel, the Bible foretells that one of the wars that happens as we approach the last days is the Gog and Magog War. Now, it doesn't take much. I've already taught on this. I've taught y'all, but the Bible's very clear that Magog is this region up here above the Black Sea, okay, here, over here. The land of the ancient Scythians, Josephus, the great Jewish historian of the early 2nd century, said that the ancient Scythians were the ancient Magogites. They were called Scythians by the Greeks. But we know that they settled in Russia, and they were the founding nation, basically the founding peoples of the Russian Empire. All right? But here's what's interesting. Technically, the land of Magog is this land right here, right above the Black Sea. And to the right of it, that's the land of Magog. This is an ancient map, 1874 map. Still has the Bible names on these places that they were called from ancient times. Guess what this area right here, that's Crimea. That's the Ukraine. Remember, Russia, Magog, Gog and Magog are the ones that are going together with the Persians, Iran, and a confederacy, Islamic or Middle East nations, and begin to move in war against the Middle East, and I believe against the United States as well. And they're going to move, and it's interesting that really the Prince of Rosh, or the leader of Russia, to really be the king of Gog and Magog, needed to take Magog back. Right? So this is why this is very important here. And guess what else? Whoever controls Ukraine will control the flow of natural gas into Europe. Oh, and guess what he's been threatening this week? To cut off the natural gas flow, energy flow, to Europe. Well, guess what that means? Europe has to do. Say uncle. Right? So the bear is starting to flex his muscles a little bit. Here's another ancient map showing again Magog here. Okay? These are very ancient, very old maps. Now, of course, I've already shared with you about the, here's the stock market picture, bull market or bear market. Well, of course, my cousin, what he does is, and has been doing for the last several years, is trading stocks. He and I had a long conversation yesterday, but he said the market is starting to crash again. And he said he's been looking at graphs going all the way back to the 1970s. He said it's not looking good. Well, here's the latest news report. Stocks dive Friday as Russia abandons U.S. dollar. Here we have the bear causing the bear. Isn't that interesting? Now, you have to understand something. It says here the stock market dive Friday that brought the Dow Jones Industrial Average to near 16,000 and NASDAQ below 4,000 might reflect an accelerated move by Russia away from the petrodollar in retaliation for the Obama administration's threatened economic sanctions over Russia's takeover of Crimea. So this whole thing, and you have Russia, and y'all need to listen very closely, Russia provides, I think it was somewhere between 30% and 40% of the oil for Europe. See, Putin's been very wise. He spent the last 20 years developing Russia's oil industry, natural gas industry, and if America had done that, we would be sitting pretty as one of the wealthiest countries on the face of the earth, because we're full, we got plenty of oil. We would have created jobs and wealth and all kinds of things, but of course, we have stupid leaders who are sold out to Satan, right? But Putin has done what really America should have done. And I'm not talking about take over Crimea. I'm just talking about develop their land, develop their oil industry. Well, he's done it, and he's made Europe and a lot of the world dependent on it, and he's gotten buddy-buddy with Iran, who provides another 30% of the world's oil supply. And now they all have something in common. They hate us, and they hate Israel. Here's another little thing. Israel has just recently discovered great oil deposits. And I believe that's going to be what the Bible says in Ezekiel, that God puts a hook in Gog and Magog's jaw, and his buddy Persia, Iran, he puts a hook in their jaw to bring them down to fight Israel. All right? So we got these things going on. So this is, we got the bears making their move. Everybody see that? Then we got these signs in the heavens that start this week. We got the blood moons this week. Now, there's all kind of crazy debate and discussion going on about these blood moons. You know, no one is saying that I know of. Now, I won't say that. There's some nuts out there. But this is not, and I want to make it very clear, that just because you believe that something significant is about these four blood moons that are going to take place between April 15, 2014, and September 28 of 2015 on Jewish feast days, just because you believe that that's something significant does not mean you believe, oh, Jesus is coming back tomorrow, the rapture's happening tomorrow, or, you know, that this is what the Bible's talking about at the very end when the sun goes dark and the moon goes dark. No, that's not the same thing, and we're not talking about that. But Jesus said this in Luke 21. Why don't we turn there? Everyone turn to Luke 21. Come on, y'all, wake up out there. Luke 21. This is what Jesus said. We're going to start reading at verse 20. Very significant. Because I want you to know things are going to start changing very quickly in our world, very quickly, especially after April 15th. Things are going to start moving very fast. All right? Luke 21, I'm sorry. We're going to go to verse 20. And when ye shall see Jerusalem, this is Jesus speaking, when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let them which are in the midst of it depart not out. Let them not that are in the countries enter thereinto. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. Now here's what's funny. Do you know that there are people out there that say that this prophecy here in this discussion was about 70 AD when Titus came in and destroyed Jerusalem and destroyed the temple? Now I got a question for you. In 70 AD, were all the prophecies of the Bible fulfilled? Yes, Steve. Right. Now, it did happen. And Jesus did prophesy that it would happen, the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. But that's not this. So he's letting us know that there would be a time when Jerusalem would be restored to the Jews, and that that time when Jerusalem was surrounded by enemies, which is there a friendly country on any side of them? No. He said, for these, this is the key verse, verse 23, for these be the days of vengeance, things which are written may be fulfilled. So this is how we know, too, we're in the last days, we are there, okay? Let's keep reading. He said, but woe unto them that are with child, to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and they shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Look at verse 25. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with the power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draws nigh. So we were told to look for signs in the heavens. And specifically, he says, the sun and the moon and the stars. Is that what it says? All right? So these blood moons, their significance is, I believe, that they are a sign, they are a warning that we're in the last days, that we're about to enter a significant prophetic period. I believe in this time period here, we're going to see some very significant things. We may very well see the signing of the peace treaty that divides the land of Israel in this next year. We may very well see the war of Gog and Magog with Russia and Iran moving toward Israel and Israel striking and fighting back. We may very well see a lot of things that are in Bible prophecy about to come to pass. But let me just tell you, when this only happened back in 1492 and 1493, when the Jews were being persecuted and thrown out of Spain, and when something very significant happened, Christopher Columbus and all of that, and then when it happened in 1948, 49, right after Israel became a nation, and then when it happened in the year 1967 and 1968, when the Six-Day War happened and Israel took back Jerusalem. Let me tell you, when you got those three events that are the last three times this happened, and you got it happening again in 2014 to 2015, I just want to say, and again, those four lunar eclipses happening on Jewish feast days, it's only these times that it's happened. This is very significant. So we have the bear moving. We have the sign of the blood moons, which I think we're going to be able to see them around midnight, and between midnight and 3 in the morning or something like that. Monday night is when we'll be able to see, I think. So mark it down that these things are getting very serious. Now, why did I want to say we got the blood moons, we got the bears, we got the blood moons, and we got the abyss? See, here's something that a lot of people don't realize, and I'm going to switch over here. While I'm doing this, turn to Revelation chapter 9. Revelation chapter 9, and it's amazing the order of these events, okay? Because, see, it took a few years, but 2008 was a very significant year, and I'm just going to say this. I believe in 2008, a lot of people won't agree with me, but I don't care. But I believe in 2008 is when this prophecy and this event of Revelation 9 took place, the fifth trumpet. I believe it's when the abyss, the bottomless pit, was opened up and a demonic horde was released upon the earth. And they were referred to, they're basically demonic locusts. Now, I'm going to share with you what I share from the sermon series that I did on the seals and the trumpets. If you want to look at all the seals and all the trumpets, you can watch that on YouTube or whatever. But what I want you to see here is this. I want you to understand. Revelation chapter 9. In the first part here, we'll just start reading it. I've got verse 2 up here, but we'll start reading from verse 1. It says, "And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill, but that they should have, but that they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment is as the torment of a scorpion when he strikes a man. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle, and on their heads were as it were crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men, and they had hair as women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions, and they had breastplates as it were breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was the sound of chariots and many horses running to battle, and they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel, or the fallen angel, of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue is Apollyon. Then he says, one woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. And then the sixth angel is World War III. The sixth trumpet sounding is World War III, that's verse 13. Here's why we need to pay attention. I've heard people for years interpret these locusts as helicopters and battle aircraft and all this stuff, and that it's a war and all this stuff. That's not what it says, is it, Mike? It says that a star, which a star is an angel, falls from heaven with the key of the bottomless pit, and he's given this key to open the bottomless pit or the abyss, or the Greek abyssuo, right? This means Tartarus. This is a place. This is part of hell where certain of the fallen angels and demon spirits are held, have been held captive, that they were chained, and I believe we know when they were chained back around the time of the flood, because God judged certain of the fallen angels and certain of the demon spirits. He judged them and said, you know, basically, I can't let you all run loose and wicked, or the world will be destroyed and mankind will be destroyed. So it says he chained certain spirits in the darkness under the earth. Literally, the Bible tells us this, that they were chained under the earth. We know from the book of Revelation, we keep reading in chapter 9 here, it says that there are four angels chained or bound in the great river Euphrates, meaning literally that under the great river Euphrates, down in there somewhere, there are four fallen angels that are chained there by God, but he's going to turn them loose here pretty soon. Well, folks, all these prophecies have a date. Now, we don't know the dates, but we have a time. What I mean is every prophecy in the Bible has a moment in time that it's fulfilled. Now, people can argue that it hadn't been fulfilled, but let me just tell you, we are speedily approaching World War III. Israel just sent up a satellite really just mainly to spy on Iran to cut their response time in half. So they're getting ready to deal with Iran. Russia is getting ready to move further to the Ukraine and possibly into other of the old Russian satellite countries. It looks like the United States, with our sorry leadership, doesn't really know what to do about it. So they're going to do something stupid. We're going to end up in war with Russia. But this right here, I want you to understand what happened. The Lord showed me in 2011 when I was studying this that this is what it was. When he said that there came out smoke and locusts were upon the earth, I realized that nothing, real locusts do not come out of the bottomless pit that have the hair like women and the faces like men and tails like scorpions. These describe demon spirits, okay? So basically, unseen evil forces were released, but God's description of them is that they would be like locusts, but they would not hurt trees or green grass. It's not a physical locust, right? That's what he said. It said it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And, of course, as I've shared with you, what do natural locusts do? Well, natural locusts come in and they devour crops and vegetation. And back in this time, pretty much how you had to survive, how your livelihood was crops and your ability to plant a garden, to have livestock. Livestock had to have vegetation to eat. And what do locusts do? They come in and devour your livelihood. So that they come in, they sweep in, they devour these crops, and they do it very quickly, too. It doesn't take them long. Locusts in the Bible have always been judgment from God, right? He said that if you don't keep the commandments, this is part of the blessing and the curses, thou shalt carry much seed out into the field and shalt gather but little in, for the locust shall consume it. That's a curse. 2 Chronicles 7:13-14 said, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locust to devour the land. He said, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. So he uses this term, locust. Now, folks, I'm just going to tell you. In 2008, I believe the pit was open and the demonic locusts went full. They didn't kill anybody. They didn't eat green grass. They didn't eat trees. So the stock market went from about 14,000 to about 6,000 very quickly. The largest bankruptcies in U.S. history happened. Here's what's interesting, and some of you already know this, but I'm doing this to make a point this morning. This started on September 15th when Lehman Brothers, the fourth largest investment firm, filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. This began a series of bankruptcies of major financial institutions. Of course, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, the whole housing industry, everything collapsed. But here's what happened. It lasted from September of 2008 until the Bush stimulus, then the Obama stimulus, and in February 17, 2009, Obama signed the second stimulus, and the stock market began to regain confidence and began to come back. Basically, they put a Band-Aid on a gunshot wound. But the bottom line is this period, anybody do the math from September 15th to February 17th? 5 months, exactly. Right? So that was the intensity of the crisis. But now we're almost six years past this. What are all the economists saying now? That what happened in 2008, the financial crisis that touched the whole world, we haven't recovered from it. We haven't corrected any of the problems that caused it. We've printed money and we've done foolish things to try to patch it back up. But they're all saying, all the economists are saying, from, and I'm not talking about Christian guys, Mark Faber and all these other economists, Jim Rogers, they're all saying that the crash that's coming is going to make 2008 look like nothing because we never fixed the problem. And I'm just telling you, I firmly believe that the abyss was opened up. Something else happened that was interesting in 2008. Two figures came into the forefront of the world politics during that time that are having great influence in leading us toward the Antichrist kingdom and the mark of the beast. And that was, one was Obama coming to power in the United States in 2008. And I believe at this time Prince Hassan, that I believe is the key player, also is almost came out from just obscurity almost to win all these nations' peace prizes. And I just look back at 2008 and I've seen a very significant move in the world toward this economic destruction and this economic collapse. Because why do we have to do it? That article, and I'm just going to say this, that article that I posted earlier about Russia collapsing the dollar, what it goes on to say is that what is going to happen when the dollar collapses, it will not just affect the United States. when the dollar is rejected as the world reserve currency, when this crisis happens, that the entire economic system is going to fall apart. There's one man that's recently written a book called The Death of Money. And this guy has been right on. I haven't read his book, but The Death of Money, what he's saying is, and it's funny because he's got all these different paper money currencies in the world, and he's got them halfway planted in the ground so they look like tombstones on the cover of his book. And basically what he's saying is when this collapse happens, all paper money's done. What happens when all paper money's done? Why does that have to happen? Why is that going to happen? So you can get a chip. Folks, there is nothing being done in the world right now that is not driving and pushing us toward this date with destiny. And it's all about the bear getting us moving. So listen to me, everybody in here, before we go any further. Listen to me. Wake up back there. Woo! Rise! Prophesy! This is serious. All the signs are here, friends. All of them. Now the question is, are you taking any of this seriously? Sometimes I think our church takes this stuff for granted. It is upon you. And I got news for you. What follows this? Hold on, I'm going too far. What follows this is this. It's happening not only as the Bible said it, but in the exact sequence and order it said it would happen. And remember when he said when that abyss was open, when the bottomless pit was open, he said, that was one woe. He said, there's two more coming. The sixth trumpet war, which is, the Bible tells us, the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels, which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour, a day, a month, and a year, for to slay the third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000, and I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire, and jacinth, or whatever, and brimstone. The heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire, and smoke, and brimstone. And by these three was the third part of men killed, by the fire, and by the smoke, and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouth. This is serious. You want to know where the Euphrates River is? If any of you don't know, it starts up here in Turkey, very close, mind you, to the land of Magog. The Euphrates River runs from Turkey down through Syria, all the way through Iraq, and touches Iran for 50 miles until it empties into the Persian Gulf. So God told us that a war, a major war, will start. And it's interesting now because you got four angels, Turkey, Syria, Iraq, Iran. That's four countries. And there are four fallen angels over those countries. And some of them were there a long time ago that were so evil they were chained, and God's about to turn them loose. This is why we're going to see an increase in demonic activity. We're going to see an increase. And this is why you need to understand your authority and power and be walking with Jesus, because you're going to need more anointing and more power and more fire and more understanding of how to exercise your authority in the name of Jesus Christ, because we are going to be dealing with more and more dark forces released on the earth. And that's why these things are happening. Of course, Israel is ready. Here's where we are, folks. You want to know the news before it's news? There it is. You want to know where we are? See, remember he says the moon will be turned into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord begins. I believe the blood moons are a warning. It's coming. Get ready. Preach the gospel. Warn people. Lead people to the truth. Lead people to Jesus. Lead people to repent of sin. Lead people to quit playing with the world and with lust and idols. Lead people to the truth because it's coming. Kevin and I were talking the other day, and I'll close with this. We were just talking the other day, you know, and I didn't meet Kevin and Andrea and some of you until, of course, we came here to start the church back in the end of, I think we came and did a meeting to discuss things in December of 2008, and then we started the church on January the 11th of 2009 here in Auburn. And I remember Kevin said this to me the other day. He said, when you came here back 5 years ago now, I had no concept of end time prophecy or what was coming or what was going to happen or what was about to happen. And he said, you know, we were talking, it's like, who would have thought that just from 2009 till now, how things have spiraled down? There's been so many changes. I mean, we almost had a civil war breakout this week, y'all, in Nevada. Had the federal agents and the federal government not backed down and walked away, it was going to be a war. Who would have ever thought we'd be close to another civil war in America? That close. All it takes is one incident. People are fed up with Obama, with Obamacare, with the government trying to control everything, spy on everybody, assassinate people at will. People are tired of it. Because, you know, I've already decided, you know, for me and my house, we've already decided about Obamacare. They can stick it right back where they pulled it from. I'm done. Comes a point where you say, you know what, I'm not going to be part of your system. You're not putting a chip in me. I don't care for whatever health reasons you deem it necessary. You're not dictating to me how, when I go to the doctor or anything else. Right? So these are serious, serious things. I just wanted y'all to see. It starts this week. These blood moons began this week. Time to get on your knees. Time to pray a little more. Time to fast a little more. Time to share the gospel a little more. I assure you one thing. The next year, 2 years, this next two-year period, 2014, 2015, will not be boring or uneventful. So prepare yourselves. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for the truth. God, we know that all of the forces moving across this world, they are quickly bringing your word to pass. Lord, we pray for your power and your truth to penetrate people's hearts listening to this by radio, by podcast, by archived messages. But Lord, in here, that you will use us in our community to lead pastors, to lead Christians out of this blindness, out of this worldliness, out of this idolatry, out of this just cluelessness that seems to grip so many people. People that know more about American Idol than they do about the Bible prophecy. How we ask you to move mightily in our lives and through us. We want to be a light for you. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, we are signing off. Blog Talk Radio and Shoutcast, we're glad for those who listened and joined in with us. We're going to take up our offering here and do announcements, but email us, Facebook us, let us know you're out there. God bless. Now, this morning, right before we take up the offering, I had